I'm Joanne Ozug, and you are listening to The Road to Carnivore, episode 15. In this episode, we are going to talk about what to do when cravings come up. When I think about my own life, cravings were scary because giving into them was what ruined diet after diet and made me feel like a failure and like I would never lose weight or get my health under control. Giving into cravings is what falling off the wagon is. It's not a planned deviation from our diet. It's when we succumb unexpectedly to various foods that we said we weren't going to eat. So, of course, there can be a legitimate sense of dread for the discomfort and consequences of cravings. But learning how to overcome cravings and believing that you can is a critical component to long-term success on carnivore. In my experience, when you change your thinking around cravings and understand how to handle them and that you are totally capable, you've pretty much conquered the most difficult thing about relationship with food. So what's a craving? What I'm referring to is when you come across some cake or cookies or pizza and you get an urge and desire to eat it. This desire comes from your lizard brain, the limbic system of the brain. This system is very primitive and it can feel really powerful. This part of the brain is in charge of fight or flight, our drive to eat, reproduce, all sorts of primal things that our body considers important for keeping us alive. A lot of the workings of this part of the brain are involuntary and instantaneous. They just sort of happen. And that's actually important because those instincts are what keep us alive. We don't want to have to think about or analyze certain situations we find ourselves in, especially if they're life or death. Let's contrast this limbic system with another part of our brain, the prefrontal cortex. This part of the brain is in charge of the more complex behaviors and future planning in your life. You may notice during a craving that part of you wants to eat that piece of cake right now, but that part of you also doesn't want to because you know that half an hour down the line, it will flare up your IBS symptoms and give you acid reflux. This is your prefrontal cortex at work. It can think about future consequences and know that trouble is ahead. It's important when learning how to deal with cravings to distinguish between these two different parts of the brain. Your lizard brain doesn't know that in 30 minutes that piece of cake will be sending you to the bathroom. So recognize that this response and urgent desire is natural, it's human, but it's not really you because it doesn't ultimately abide by the values you want to live by. Because the lizard brain can't plan for the future, we don't want to allow it to call the shots most of the time. We want to use the prefrontal cortex because it's thinking about our future self and knows what we ultimately value, not just what we want in the moment. I find that there are really two kinds of cravings. Cravings that come from you, usually emotionally triggered from something in your life that feels hard or uncomfortable, and then cravings that are prompted by a cue. These differ in that the first kind tends to be under your control and is often brought on by negative emotions like stress or discontent. And it's very easy and temporarily effective to numb these emotions with food, whereas the cue-prompted cravings happen while you're out at places you don't control. Maybe you're at the office and someone brings a box of donuts into a meeting and everyone starts chowing down and you want a donut too. That cue is out of your control and less to do with your life and any habits of emotional soothing with food. The process for handling cravings is more or less the same for both kinds, so let's go through that process first, and then I'll go through an example afterwards. When a craving comes up, the first thing I do is try to separate myself physically from the food. This dampens the intensity of the lizard brain and that urge of, I must have pizza now. So if I'm in the kitchen, I go to a completely different room, I sit down, I take a really good breath in through the nose and out through the mouth, and then I ask myself if I actually want food. You wouldn't believe how many times I'd realize that what I actually wanted was to rest or take a nap, which makes sense. Our body knows that carbs are quick energy. There are so many studies that show that people eat more when they're sleep deprived. So I clear up any possibility that I actually want or need something else that isn't food. And if so, I take that action instead and give my body what it really needs. If the desire for the pizza or cookies or whatever is still there, I then ask myself if I'm hungry. If I'm willing to eat a cold chicken breast or a burger patty with salt, then I'm actually hungry and should go eat. That's a proper craving and signal from my body that I need fuel. If I'm not interested in the idea of meat and specifically want the cake or pizza, then I acknowledge that I'm experiencing a craving and not a true need for food. I remind myself that it's totally natural. It feels really urgent because of the nature of the lizard brain, but that I'm going to make a conscious choice about whether or not I'm going to eat it using my prefrontal cortex. I'm not deciding yet that I can't have it or that I shouldn't eat it, but I'm going to take a few moments to think and make a choice from a place of understanding what's going on and what the consequences are. Next, I take a moment to think about what craving actually is. Cravings are just physical sensations in the body that we create our own thoughts and judgments about. A lot of people describe the idea of craving as unbearable or torture. I used to do this. I'd say it was agony trying to resist certain foods. But a lot of this is our own catastrophization and story about craving. And it's totally understandable. A lot of this comes from our experiences and diet mentality. But we have to be mindful that we don't escalate these bodily sensations into suffering and great upset by making dramatic judgments about it. We have control over this. So I watch for and call out any scripts in my head that dramatize what is really just a natural and somewhat involuntary collection of sensations in my body. While I'm paying attention to any scripts going on in my head, I also prepare myself for the justification voices to come in. These are the lines like, just this time won't matter, or everyone else is eating, I should too, or my mom made this cake special for me, I should have some. An example for me that came up a lot early on in carnivore was the communal eating and bonding justification, that when other people are eating something, I should eat too, because it's a bonding experience. And to be fair, it is. But I recognized that I could use that as a valid excuse for nearly every situation. And I didn't actually want that to be a reason for deviating from carnivore most of the time. There was a time about 6 months into carnivore when I bought a few pints of ice cream for my kids to have for a special occasion dessert. And when I bought it, it was clear in my mind as dessert for the kids. I didn't want to eat it or deviate from carnivore, and I planned not to eat it. But while I was scooping it and serving it to them, I wanted some really bad. And then the lizard brain voices came to my head and it went something like, oh, it won't be as special if you don't all eat the ice cream together. And they'll wonder why mommy isn't having any. This one time won't matter. So I gave in and I had some. Actually, I had a lot because the stimulation kind of caught me off guard. And I was so mad afterward dealing with all the gas and bloating and consequences that night. The next time we had a special occasion dessert like that come up, I remembered what happened before and reminded myself that my brain will always come up with really sneaky, convincing arguments for why I should indulge the craving. So I went through some of the practices I'm sharing in this episode and decided that I would simply sit with my kids while they ate ice cream and see what happens. They did not care. They didn't even notice. We were still able to bond, and it felt no less special as the last time. I thought that eating ice cream with my kids was the important part, but no, it's so obvious in retrospect that the important part was that I was there with them, sitting at the table, spending time with them. The lines and justifications spurred on by the cravings of the lizard brain will always sound like really good reasons. But then I realized that they don't ultimately align with what my future self wants and the values I've consciously chosen. Next, I take a moment to remind myself of my values, which also helps me discredit those sneaky justifications. I remind myself that I value health and how incredible it is to live day to day in good health after spending most of my life dealing with chronic health problems. To have placed all of my health issues into remission by not putting false pleasure foods like that into my body is meaningful and important to me. And finally, I look at what the package deal is for eating the pizza or cake. And I try to do this without judgment and with neutrality. What are the long-term consequences for that piece of chocolate cake? How will I feel after I'm done eating? What's to be gained and what's to be lost? For me, if I eat a piece of chocolate cake, I will receive 5 minutes of pleasure while I eat it, and honestly, pretty intense pleasure. The combination of sugar, carbs, fat, chocolate, and salt, and the creamy richness of the buttercream frosting will be really stimulating and pleasurable to my system. But also, my body will experience distress. I will likely get diarrhea about 15 minutes later. I will get acid reflux and an elevated heart rate for the following 6-ish hours. I will sleep poorly that night. The cake will cause a big insulin spike and stress my body. My clothes will not fit as well the next day. I will feel inflammation and see it in my face. And I could go on, but let's call it there. On the mental side, I will feel disappointed about deviating from my values and my intention to not eat those kinds of foods. I will face raging cravings for more sugar and carbs. And I know it will make meat less enjoyable by taking my dopamine way out of range. That last one might sound a little weird, but I know from personal experience and from reading about dopamine in the scientific literature that when you eat something highly stimulating, it literally makes it so that you are not able to take as much pleasure in less stimulating foods like meat. Until you get back to a more normal baseline, other things are just not as enjoyable by comparison. That is the package deal for a piece of chocolate cake. I am completely free and allowed to eat cake, but I acknowledge that that is the full experience. I'm aware of the short-term and long-term experience, the experience for myself right now and the future experience as well. I used to look at a piece of cake and just see the 5 minutes of pleasure, but I can now see the entirety of what the experience is, the full picture, so I can make a personal decision about what I want to do. I recommend going through this process and being neutral but honest about what the package deal is for you. It's your personal decision to make, and it's going to depend on many factors unique to your values and the particular situation. Just make sure that when you choose to eat something, that you're clearly choosing the consequences as well. The night I ate the ice cream unexpectedly with the kids, I wasn't ready for the consequences. That doesn't mean I never choose to deviate. It's rare, but as an example, sometimes for holidays like Thanksgiving or Christmas, I've chosen very consciously to share in nostalgic desserts and family food traditions from times past. But there's a totally different feeling of alignment and control because it's done consciously. So now that I've laid out the process, let's go through a quick example of how this would look for a cued craving, like when someone unexpectedly brings donuts to a meeting at the office. First, I would try to take a moment to myself, maybe go to the bathroom. Depending on the nature of the meeting, that may not be possible, and that's okay, but I would at least try to get a moment of separation. Next, I would acknowledge that I'm having a craving because all of a sudden, there are donuts in my vicinity. So now I have an expectation of potentially eating them simply because they're there. The concept of the seafood diet, you see food and you want to eat it, of course that's a thing. Your lizard brain is like, hey, there's food right there, highly stimulating and rewarding food. But 30 seconds before the donuts appeared, I wasn't looking for donuts or even thinking about them. That wasn't a desire that originated from me. And I don't want to indulge in cued cravings like that, partially on matter of principle, and partially because I know that if I do, it will create more expectations to eat in situations like that, and it will literally strengthen that connection and wiring in my brain. Then I would also acknowledge how alluring those donuts are because foods like that change your state immediately. I hate meetings. Adding donuts will help me escape the moment and immediately bring me pleasure. It's going to make the meeting more pleasant in the short term. But what are the long-term consequences for those donuts? What's the package deal? How will I feel after I'm done eating? Does this align with my values? Am I okay with the consequences? And is it worth it overall? Am I being neutral but honest about that? There are so many questions you could ask yourself in a situation like this. But if you do even a sliver of this kind of awareness, you will start learning how to handle cravings and really own your power over them. Before we wrap up, let's talk a little bit more about the emotionally triggered cravings that happen when something in your life feels hard to deal with or uncomfortable. Maybe you're overwhelmed, bored, anxious, stressed, or sad. Food is a common way to buffer all of these discomforts. And it's tricky because a substance like alcohol, for example, is not necessary for survival, but food is. It's harder to find the line between sustenance and emotional buffering, and it involves more awareness. But here's what I want to point out. These cravings are somewhat within your control. Someone bringing donuts to the office, that's completely out of your control. You didn't know that was going to happen. But a lot of the cravings and emotional buffering we do with food results from how we're living our lives. Ask yourself, are there certain things in your life that are making you unhappy, that push you to emotionally buffer with food? Are you forcing yourself to work a job you hate? Are you spending time with people who make you feel drained? Have you taken on too many responsibilities and feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulders? In my own life, I sort of realized, albeit in hindsight, how much of my life was out of alignment. Before carnivore, my entire life revolved around food. It was not only my career to develop delicious recipes, but food was my answer to everything. Boredom, stress, anxiety. It was my way to show other people love, my way to show myself love, my way to gather people. Date night or girls' night out always centered around what restaurant should we check out next? Ooh, this bakery is opening up next weekend. Let's take the kids out for ice cream tonight. And after carnivore changed my health so drastically that I knew I couldn't go back, I had to figure out what my life would look like not revolving around food. And the truth is, it became crystal clear that I had filled my life with food because I was unhappy with other parts of my life. So when I started taking these foods out of the equation, it was hard at first because I had to begin changing other parts of my life. But it was so worth it because my life is so much better now. In retrospect, the attachment to food and the dopamine connections were really excessive and were keeping me from my life. Food became far too hedonistic for me. I placed too much value and importance in it, and I indulged and craved it excessively. It's really easy to confuse pleasure and comfort with happiness and true fulfillment. And the latter comes from living according to your values, which at times is going to involve discomfort. The wisdom to be gained here is realizing that numbing with food creates more pain on net for your life. Making your life better as a whole will often reduce the need to buffer with food and reduce the occurrence of cravings to begin with. With that said, some negative human emotion and experience will absolutely be out of your control. Maybe you get fired from a job, or someone close to you passes away, or something else that's just hard. But the process is still the same, and it will serve you to learn how to embrace and sit with the discomfort and pain. I personally have found such a sense of peace and pride from learning how to process the emotions instead of trying to numb with food. It builds character and resilience that inevitably benefits other parts of your life, even beyond food. So can you sit with the sadness, anger, fear, or loneliness for a few moments? Because there's probably a valid reason why those emotions are coming up. They're signals of a need, something you might need to change in your life or take care of. I almost didn't believe this when I first heard it, but it really is true that when you actually allow the emotion and acknowledge it and just be with it, the emotions eventually pass. And the process of doing this, even though it's uncomfortable sometimes, is the best feeling. Learning how to navigate discomfort is a superpower. And sitting with it and learning from it often turns into meaningful change and new direction in our lives. Cravings can feel scary in the beginning, but if you start doing some of these practices, you absolutely will overcome them and they will lessen in time. In the beginning, it can be a little harder because you can have some physical cravings as you get fat adapted, but as you eat more fat and less carbs, you naturally eliminate most physical cravings. And the emotional cravings that remain will also be weakened over time as you choose not to indulge them. It will literally weaken those neuropathways in the brain and lessen the likelihood of future craving. Best of luck, and know that if you do these practices, it will get easier and easier. Thanks for listening to The Road to Carnivore. If you found this podcast to be thought-provoking or valuable, please share it with someone who might be interested to hear this information. Maybe someone who hasn't been able to figure out their health problems or might want to hear a different side of the story when it comes to food. I'll see you next time.